So if you're on Wall Street yesterday, man, the story, there's only one story this morning. Two of the nation's largest and most troubled banks are going through high-level personnel changes, and the one yesterday was a blockbuster. Bank of America took over Merrill Lynch, you know, and John Thain, the former chairman of Merrill Lynch and a sort of co-executive at Bank of America, is suddenly out under pressure. And it's also the case, and we want to note that, that Citigroup has brought in a new chairman a few days ago, Richard Parsons, former chairman of Time Warner. And Louise Story joins us now to explain what seems to be a real changing of the guard going on Wall Street. She's a reporter for The New York Times and covers Wall Street. Louise Story, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
First, let's talk about the Thain story. John Thain used to be called Mr. Fix-It when he was running the New York Stock Exchange, came in after Grasso and his scandal over pay compensation, then went to Merrill Lynch after things sort of went sour there. He apparently was instrumental in negotiating the deal that allowed Bank of America to purchase Merrill Lynch. Now he's out. What's going on here?
Part of what you're seeing going on is just the closing of a merger. So people always leave companies after mergers, and that's part of what you're seeing. What you're also seeing, however, is information about John Thain trickling out, and perhaps he's let his guard down a little because he's no longer in charge and he's no longer running the company. One of the biggest signs that we saw that there was a little more to John Thain than we knew was that he was pushing for a bonus last fall when every other chief of Wall Street knew that in this environment and when they'd taken taxpayer money, it really would be tone deaf to take a bonus, but yet he was still pushing for one.
And not only for him, but for other people at Merrill, he was sort of pushing those bonuses as Merrill was being sold to Bank of America. And the head of Bank of America suggested yesterday that as many as $41 billion in Merrill Lynch losses were somehow concealed or possibly not disclosed to Bank of America as it was negotiating the purchase.
There are disclosure issues here. We'll have to wait and see what is proven. One of the issues is how bad are Merrill's assets, and because a lot of the write-downs are still coming from toxic assets from years ago, and as long as it can be shown that Merrill used good models to estimate them last fall, it would be difficult to prove that they maliciously made a mistake. But there certainly will be investigations.
You know, this appears to have come very much at, you know, suddenly. I mean, CNBC broke the story and had documents yesterday talking about John Thain redoing his office to the tune of $800,000 or more. And it appears that on Wednesday, John Thain bought 84,000 shares of B of A stock at about $5.70 a share. You wouldn't think somebody on their way out would buy stock in Bank of America if they were going to be fired. How sudden was this?
I think it was fairly sudden for John. Most of his top deputies who worked for him at Merrill Lynch quit in recent weeks, and in some ways people said that made him look like he had more power and that he'd be staying around longer because some of his deputies might have been competition and they all quit. However, after the fourth quarter earnings announcement and the capital infusion a week ago, Ken Lewis was coming under a lot of fire for buying Merrill Lynch and paying as much as it did. And I think that in part this is a deflection of criticism away from Ken Lewis and his responsibility for the deal onto John Thain.
Ken Lewis, of course, the head of Bank of America. Let's talk about Dick Parsons taking over as chairman of Citigroup. You know, one of the things that's been talked about in the reporting here is his connection to Barack Obama, apparently was on the transition team, and that they are close in some sense. Does the ascension of Richard Parsons to the head of Citigroup signal a kind of new management agenda on Wall Street as this financial crisis takes hold in the banking industry?
Certainly, the money is in Washington today. That's where the power is. That's where the money is. It used to be in New York. So his connections are important, and there's many people who think that the government is playing a larger role than we know in the management of Citigroup and possibly now in the management of Bank of America. With the second round of investment from the government is taking over more control. At Citigroup, the thing to ask, though, is why are they changing people on their board? You know, Robert Rubin was an advisor, and he left, and now they have a new chairman. Some people wonder why they're not changing people on their management team. However, their CEO, of course, was not a CEO when the mortgage investments were undertaken. You know, he came in afterwards, just like John Thain came in afterwards to Merrill. Nonetheless, Citigroup is still very troubled.
And the question there, I guess, is will Vikram Pandit, who is the chief executive officer at Citigroup, retain his post? What's the sort of feeling? I mean, he's you know, up and down day to day, like the stock at Citigroup.
People know that he's very smart and that he, you know, is trying very hard. Some of his upper management team and observers and analysts are watching and wondering, you know, if he inspires enough confidence. However, there aren't many other people to put in the job, and so whoever is making these decisions, whether it be the board or the government, has to look at who could replace him. And for years, the bench in Wall Street's been a little weak. So it's unclear if he's going to be pulled out right now.
Right. Well, Louise Story, reporter for the New York Times, the bench is sort of huge if you include all the unemployed bankers out there. Oh. Parsons is in at Citigroup, and John Thain is out at Bank of America. It's a story of a very big shift taking place on Wall Street. Louise Story, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And now quick headlines from Femi Okeh.
Thank you very much. Time is 28 minutes past the hour.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.